have a couple more minutes with Harold Holzer talking about Abraham Lincoln, Bill Russell, I, Paula Gordon. There is this sweet little line that you kind of just slip in there that Abraham Lincoln, in so much that is genuinely revolutionary, that it is he who makes history, being the first president to say slavery is wrong.
And we underestimate how much of a factor that was in causing people to say, therefore, the election is not valid. We don't appreciate how much of the sum and substance of society slavery was, and how it infected North as well as South, East as well as West, as Lincoln said better than I. But yeah, merely saying that it's wrong, merely saying we're not threatening to remove slavery where it exists and where it's constitutionally protected, where I am powerless to change it. All we want to do is prevent its expansion and place it, he said, on the course of ultimate extinction. And that's what slave owners and slaveholding states could not abide, because then their power would diminish, and they saw that Lincoln was right, that if you diminish the extension of slavery and the creation of new senators in new slave states, eventually they will be a minority, and eventually somehow by constitutional amendment or worse, in fact, for America it was both, slavery would finally die. And in a way, his Southern opposition was absolutely right. They were right. Maybe they weren't right to secede and launch a war and revolt, but they were right that they were doomed under Abraham Lincoln, that he lived up to his word.
But this also goes back to the founding fathers, who punted on the issue in order to form a more perfect union.
They blamed Benton, and
most of them understood that, you know, their hope and expectation, including most of the Southerners involved in this, that the institution, Jefferson, obviously, despite his somewhat aberrant behavior, thought it would go away, believed that it would go away. They just didn't want to deal with it right then. They had other, as it were, fish to fry. The perspective of the South, actually, in my understanding, you have a much better idea, actually hardened over those years, over
Absolutely.
Those four score.
Including Jefferson's view hardened as he saw, as he became fearful. And I think one thing that the founders didn't expect was that black populations would exceed white populations.
In the South.
And therefore, and the notion of being outnumbered, overwhelmed, subjugated themselves was what was most feared. It was not just slave insurrections. It was the, you know, reorder of the political system and the political order.
And they were making a lot of money at the time. The South was very profitable.
There is one thing that is true, is that the slave system was a very profitable system. You didn't have to feed a slave very much or give much clothes, and the housing was substandard, and it was all gravy. It's horrendous, but it was all profit.
The idea of bondage continues in the current era, and it can be bondage that is human bondage, that is economic, it can be political bondage. This is a very current story, isn't it?
I hope people will regard it as such, and it's not just a story that should end on our own inauguration day, or at least reference to it shouldn't, because it's a story about positive leadership, subtle sometimes, but positive and strong, and epical, history-altering. Nation-saving. I think without this moment in Lincoln's life, we wouldn't have had the more perfect union. We would have had the less perfect union that the founders were compelled to compromise and create for maybe into the 20th century.
And history would have left us behind.
That's another point. We would have been junior partners on the world stage instead of dominant figures for good, where we've had a positive influence. And absolutely, this. You know, Lincoln is now a monument. I think this period is the pedestal, and the monument had to stand on something. And I really do think, after spending 5 years on this, that this is the pedestal that he built to support the epical leadership that followed.
And thank you for sharing that pedestal with us.
I can't not say he's not only monumental. What you've done is making a living example. The tendency is to think that was then, this is now, that there was this, you know, this great man who had great skills. And what is so charming about this and important is that he was human. He, you know, the clarity of vision, the flexibility, but also the life struggles I mean, he had to deal with this all day, every day. He had to deal with people who were powerful people. He had to deal with regional problems, all kinds of things. And if we think of him solely as a monument, and I agree he is that, but he's also, I think, a vital living example of what can be done.
If only people would accept it. You know, do I have time for one more story?
Absolutely.
I always thought it was strange that, and I'm going to try very hard to get the year right, in 2001, George W. Bush was photographed carrying a book by a friend of mine named Jay Winnick called April 1865. And the mere act of President-elect Bush walking around Crawford, notice I adapt the vernacular of Crawford, walking around the ranch with the book, catapulted it into bestseller status. Now, I can only dream that Senator Obama or Senator McCain will tote Lincoln President-elect, but I just want them to read it without... They don't have to carry it anywhere, the camera. I always thought it was strange that President Bush carried a book about the last month of Lincoln's presidency. That's not where you should start. It doesn't start with thinking you're a martyr and a hero. It starts with the nitty-gritty. He should have... There are other books he could have read. You start with the flip side. You start with the foundation, not with the... You start with the pedestal, not with the monument. That's what they should all remember. I hope they do.
You think there's work to be done?
Yeah, I think there's work to be done, but I think it's doable. I think we have great examples to follow. The problem is, if you start at the end and not at the beginning, let's start at the beginning. We have a new beginning to launch.
And we'll look forward to launching the next project so we can see you again. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Harold Holzer's Lincoln President-elect is one of those rare and noteworthy books that reads like a thriller. We thank Mr. Holzer for his arduous work and for all the ways he's sharing what he's learned, especially here with us. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well. ¶¶